ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुषुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरं श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात दिशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिष्ये नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंध जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्वा नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2. Chapter is entitled Prayers by the Demigods, text number 7 and 8. So I'll read text number 7, then we'll chant together text number 8, which is on the board. Text 7. Gacchā devī brajaṁ bhadre gopo govir alaṅkritam रोहिणी वासुदेवस्य भार्यास्ते नंद गोकुले अन्नश्च कंस संविघ्ना विवरेषु वसन्तिः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन द लॉर्ड ऑर्डर जोगमाया हु माय पोटेंसी हु आर वर्शिपेबल फॉर द एंटायर वर्ल्ड and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Braj, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Small purport by Prabhupada. Nanda Gokul, the residence of King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokul. Text number 8, we will chant together. Devakya jathare garbham Seshakhyam dhama namakam Seshakhyam dhama mamakam Tat sannikrishya rohinya Udare sannibesaya Devakya. Of Devaki, Jathare, within the womb, Garbham, the embryo, Seshakhyam, known as Shesha, the plenary expansion of Krishna, Dhamma, the plenary expansion, Mamakam, of me, Tat, him. Sannikrishya, attracting. Rohinya, of Rohini. Udare, within the womb. Sannivesya, sannivesaya, transfer without difficulty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion, known as Sankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the Eternal Mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I am going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangement so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Satgarbhas. Does this mean that the Satgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, He does not do so. This is explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.4 and 5. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina masthani sarva bhutani na chaham tishu avasthitah na cha matsthani bhutani Pashyame yogam aisharam bhutabrinna cha bhutastha mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam khalu idam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and He is not everywhere. Everything rests upon Him, yet does not rest upon Him. This can be explained only through the Achinta Bheda Veda philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Vaktamam Avijanati Javan Jachasmi Tattataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of the Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of Bhakti Yoga. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada and Mascharya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darsayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the 6 sons of Marichi were killed by such fear and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus the 7th pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada and Mascharya are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vrishvanath Chakravarti Thakur. Mukham krati vachalam pangur langhayita gring yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be in Krishna Balaram temple with all the wonderful devotees. So I am seeing many senior devotees also sitting in front of me. So I beg their blessings, Srila Prabhupada disciples, sannyasis and other senior devotees, so that I can speak something about Lord Balaram in the Krishna Balaram temple of Srila Prabhupada. So this verse is very significant verse and a very deep message of bhakti is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Prabhupada's purport is just repeating what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur spoke in his commentary. So first is, there are a few points in the purport which we will discuss today. So first is that Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. Then question comes, if Rohini is the eternal mother, then why Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki? That is the first question. And second question is, if Balaram appeared in Devaki's womb, then why he needs to be transferred to the womb of Rohini? So our acharyas are very expert in releasing these pastimes, and they are giving different explanations. So first is, Krishna comes to a place which is Balaram. Krishna cannot stay on material nature. He cannot be on material energy. So resting place of Krishna is his Sandhini potency, and the personality of the Sandhini potency is Balaram. So wherever Krishna moves in this world, we should not think he is moving on the material nature. He is always on spiritual nature. When he manifests Brajamandal to appear, the whole Brajamandal is Sandhini potency. And when he is out of Vrindavan going somewhere else, Sandhini potency expands. You should not think that when he was going to Hastinapur and other places, so he is on the material art, material chariot. It's not like that. Everything is Sandhini potency. He acts on that platform. So here Mother Devaki is now ready for the appearance of Krishna in a room. Why she is ready? Because she is pure, transcendental. Why? Because she is free from kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madan, mastery, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. So when our heart will be free from these six enemies within, then our heart will be a suitable place for Krishna's appearance. So Krishna is pure, and Prabhupada gives the example, if you want to be in fire, then you should get the quality of fire, otherwise you will be burned. In the same way, if we want to be with Krishna, then we have to have the qualities of Krishna. Means we have to be transcendental. We have to come to the platform of pure goodness, Vasudev platform. So Vasudev platform means pure goodness. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunna Vishaya Veda Nistraigunna Bhavarjuna. My dear Arjuna, if you want to know me, then you have to cross beyond. You have to transcend the three modes. As long as you are in three modes, you cannot understand me. So you can understand or experience pure devotional service at the platform of transcendence. And Krishna also says in another verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Suchiti Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Who can attend pure devotional service at this platform of Brahma Bhuta? Brahma Bhuta platform means the transcendental platform. And in that platform, he is Prasanna Atma. He is always happy. So how we can understand someone is Prasanna Atma or Vishanna Atma? If someone is morose, face does not look very happy, it means he is not Prasanna Atma. And Prabhupada used to be very upset when he sees devotees are morose. Why? You are chanting the holy name, you are engaged in pure devotional service, you have to be happy. So happiness is the symptom of Brahmabhuta platform, Prasanna Atma. And how we can be Prasanna Atma? Only two qualifications mentioned here. Na sochati, na kangshati. No hankering, no lamentation. As long as hankering and lamentation will be there, it's not possible to be Prasanna Atma, because we will be always in anxiety. This world is the world of anxiety, chinta, chinta. The life is chinta, anxiety, and ends with chitta, funeral pyre. That is the material journey. As long as we are in this material body, we will have anxiety at every moment, and then we will end up with chitta, funeral pyre. And both chitta and chinta burns us. The funeral pyre burns the dead body once, but the anxiety or chinta burns our living body constantly. So as long as chinta will be there in our consciousness, we cannot experience the transcendental nature. We cannot become prasanna atma. So for that we have to be free from hankering and lamentation. And when Akrura went to Vrindavan from Mathura, came to Vrindavan, from Mathura to Vrindavan, actually Krishna was there at that time in Nandagaon. So Akrura went by chariot, and Akrura's journey is very interesting journey. How to enter Vrindavan Dham? Very interesting journey. So I'll summarize that journey to prepare ourselves. We should be always prepared. But this kind of topics give the opportunity to prepare ourselves, our consciousness, because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is narrating the whole appearance of Krishna from the perspective of a sadhaka, as a practicing devotee. So Akrura was advised, or rather ordered or requested, whatever you say, by Kamsa to go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna Balaram out of Vrindavan to Mathura. Why? Because Kamsa was thinking that my strategy to kill Krishna in his own place is not working. So we should have strategy, no? So that strategy did not work, so he changed the strategy. That is the quality of a good administrator. You can have strategy, but if strategy does not work, we should not stick to the strategy, you have to change the strategy. So Akrura was sent. Why? Because Kamsa thought that I am sending Asuras, but they are getting killed by Krishna, because Krishna is in his own place and he is in the forest and he is very powerful. So now we have to take Krishna out of the forest and bring him to the city. And which city? My city, Mathura. And who can bring him? Because you have to send somebody very neutral person, so that people will not suspect why Akrura is calling Krishna Balaram to Mathura. People will suspect. Then he organized a big festival, Dhanurjagya, and he invited all the surrounding places, people staying there, and he also invited all the Brajavasis, including Krishna Balaram. So Akrura was given the order to bring Krishna Balaram. As soon as Akrura heard, he felt that I am unqualified to go to Vrindavan. How I can have darshan of Krishna Balaram? How I can go to Vrindavan? That is the place of the Paramhansas, the pure devotees. I am a fallen soul. I am working with Kamsa. What association I have? What kind of service I do? What qualification? I have no qualification. So first qualification to enter into Vrindavan is that we have to really feel from our heart that we are unqualified. That is the first step. And Mahaprabhu teaches the same principle. Trinadapi Sunichan. Our spiritual journey begins when we establish this quality in our character. So pride and Krishna consciousness cannot go together. So we have to become humble. And here is the same principle Akrura is showing by his own example. He never felt, oh, see, I am so qualified. There are so many people. That is our tendency actually. Material nature always teaches us, or always indicates that I am something special. But Akrura didn't feel like that. When Srila Prabhupada was given order to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he never felt, see, so many people are there, I am. He never felt like that. He felt that I am unqualified. Why my Gurudev chose me? That is the mood. So Akrura is having the same mood of being unqualified. Then you may think, oh, unqualified means I am good for nothing. That is the normal argument people give. Your philosophy means is very unmotivational. Motivation means you have to make yourself very proud that I can do something. That is the concept we promote in the modern society. How we can work? What is the motivation? But here, the motivation is that you have to be unqualified. Then what is the, how the journey continues? The second is, so Akrura felt that although I am unqualified, but I have some hope. Asa bandha. Prabhupada said, if you give up hope, then you are a dead person. Hope has to be there. Asa bandha. That is also one of the symptoms of Baba Bhakti. So what is the reason of the hope? Hope is that I am unqualified. But Krishna delivered Putana. If Putana can be delivered, so some hope is there for me also. So he was thinking like that. So as a devotee, the analogy is given, a beautiful analogy of a bullet and a revolver. A bullet is very, very powerful. But that bullet is powerful when it is in the revolver. If the bullet is taken out of the revolver, if you throw, something will happen, but it's not so powerful. But that same bullet will be really powerful. It can kill people if it is in the revolver. In the same way, a devotee is like a bullet. Very, very powerful. Provided he is in the hand of a pure devotee. That pure devotee, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, they act like the revolver. And when we become the insignificant instrument in their hand, then we become powerful. So in the same way, Akrura was thinking, I am unqualified, but I am hopeful because I am in the hand of pure devotees. Krishna is very merciful. He delivers so many people. So that hopefulness has to be there. Then Akrura started the journey and he was completely absorbed. That was the third qualification. He was completely absorbed. He started the journey early in the morning and he reached Nandagaon in the evening. How long it takes from Mathura to Nandagaon? Not so long. And he was not walking also. He was not doing a parikrama. He was in the chariot. It's a good chariot. Wonderful chariot. So by chariot, he started in the morning and reached in the evening. Early evening. Late afternoon. Sun was setting that time. Why it took so late? Why is that? Because he was so absorbed in the thought of Krishna, he forgot the route. He was moving here and there and he didn't know where he is going. Because he was completely absorbed. Somehow he managed to reach Nandagaon. So absorption in the thought of Krishna is the qualification to enter into Vrindavan. Krishna consciousness means absorption. Absorption in the thought. So Akrura was completely absorbed. Then he reached the border of Vrindavan. Then as soon as he reached that, he saw the footprints of Krishna. And his heart was filled with emotion, spiritual emotion, and he could not stay on the chariot. He jumped off the chariot and started rolling on the dust of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said that is the qualification to enter into Vrindavan. You have to roll on the dust of Vrindavan. But it's not an external thing. It's a very deep subject matter. And also is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that by doing that, by rolling on the dust of Vrindavan, Akrura gave up three things. He gave up fear, he gave up lamentation, and he also gave up pride. These three things he gave up. So he gave up pride. He did not think, oh, I am a chariot, I am from a royal family, such a nice fancy dress. So such a village place, and the dust, why I should roll? He did not think like that. So in order to enter into Vrindavan, we have to take shelter of the dust of Vrindavan, thinking ourselves insignificant. So Akrura exhibited that quality. Then he did not also have any lamentation. Oh, who will take care of my family now? I am here. If anything wrong happens to me, he was not lamenting. He was completely confident that Krishna will take care of everything. And also, he gave up fear. He did not think, oh, if Kamsa comes to know that I love Krishna, I am in Krishna's party, then he may harm me, he may harm my family. He was not scared at all. He was completely fearless. So in that way, Akrura entered into Vrindavan. So these qualities are very, very important to be at the Vasudeva platform in order to attract Krishna to appear in our life. So here, Devaki is the embodiment of those qualities. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, Devaki represents bhakti. And Kamsa represents material fear. And when we have fear about material nature, then we get purified. Fear is good. That fear, this is called fear of material energy. We should not be panicky, maya, 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 like that, but we have to be fearful. We should not take it easy. We should not take it easy. So one devotee gave a proposal to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I have a brilliant idea to preach. Where, he said, Prabhupada, getting people in the Western country is very difficult, but Saturday nightclub is a very good place. Where a lot of people come, you don't have to invite, audience is readily available, you can preach very nicely. What do you think about this idea? He was asking Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, idea is brilliant, but make sure you come back. So you have to be fear, we have to have some fear of material energy. So once Prabhupada said that material nature cannot touch me, maya cannot touch me. It's a big statement. So one day Prabhupada was praying, and one devotee, same devotee who heard that maya cannot touch me, so he asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, so what did you pray today? So Prabhupada said, I prayed to the maya that I don't become attracted. I do not become victimized by maya. Then devotee was confused. So Prabhupada, that day you told that maya cannot touch you. But you are praying to the Lord now that you didn't become victimized by maya. I cannot relate. Looks like apparent contradiction. Prabhupada said, there is no contradiction because I sincerely pray regularly. That's why maya cannot touch me. Daivi hesa gunamoyi mama maya durataya mami vaja prapadante maya metan tarantite. So when we take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can overcome maya. By our own strength, we cannot surpass the insurmountable maya. It's Krishna's divine energy. It's very, very difficult to overcome. But when we take shelter of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, this material existence like the water of the footprint, you can easily cross over. Because Krishna's lotus feet is the real shelter to cross over. So, fearing material nature is very, very important. So, Devaki is fearful of Kamsa. And that fear of Kamsa purified Devaki. And she became transcendental. So, in the same way, following in the footsteps of Devaki, if we are fearful about material nature, then our heart will be purified. We will be freed from lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion. And when our heart will be free, then Krishna will appear. And before Krishna comes, his Sandhini potency, Balaram, comes. So here, although Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram, so Balaram came into the womb of Devaki to create that womb, to make that womb suitable for Krishna's appearance. Sandhini potency. So service is more important. For service, He had to take so much trouble. What kind of trouble? His appearance, the garbha of Devaki has to be transferred to the womb of Rohini. So that is the symptom of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means to take personal discomfort to please Krishna. That is the symptom of pure devotional service. Giving up our personal comfort for the comfort of Krishna. So here Baladev is representing that. He is taking so much trouble to do it. So in the previous verse, 7th verse, Krishna is telling Jagamaya, go to Gokul. But Devaki is in Mathura. So why Krishna is telling to go to Gokul? So at the time when Devaki was pregnant and Balaram was there in the womb of Devaki, at that time Rohini was also pregnant. Rohini is also pregnant. So first Jogamaya came and took care of the pregnancy of Rohini. And Rohini thought, I had a miscarriage. So Jogamaya said, don't worry, I am taking away this womb, embryo, and I will transfer another baby in your womb. So then what she did, she transferred Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And it is said that Balaram was there in the womb of Devaki for 7 months. Then he was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And he also stayed there for 7 months. 7 months in the womb of Devaki and 7 months in the womb of Rohini. And then Krishna came into the womb of Devaki, then Krishna appeared. So it is explained by our acharyas that Prabhupada said that there is 15 days gap in the next purport. Balaram is 15 days elder. Our acharyas are explaining because it is Balaram Purnima, then Janmashtami, 8 days. So there is 8 days gap of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is 8 days younger than Balaram. So Krishna appeared very quickly. Right? Not quickly. He appeared after 7 months and 8 days. Balaram stayed in the womb for 14 months. So in that way, the whole thing took place. It's a mystery. Our acharyas, Hari Vansha, our acharyas, they are explaining in that way that Balaram was there in the womb of Rohini for 7 months, also in the womb of Devaki for 7 months. So now, it is explained, then Balaram came into the womb of Devaki to do the service, to establish the Sandhani potency there and make the womb a suitable place for Krishna to appear there, although Rohini is the eternal mother. Then why he was transferred or he was taken back again into the womb of Rohini? Because Krishna says that how can I perform pastime without Balaram in Gokul? So I need Balaram. So Balaram has to be in Gokul. So that's why Balaram was transferred. It's not that Balaram also scared, so told Jogamaya, please, I am fearful of Kamsa, please don't keep me in Mathura, please take me to Gokul. It is not like that. He was transferred because Krishna needs him for his pastime. Without Balaram, Krishna's pastime cannot take place. So as Krishna will be transferred from Mathura to Gokul, in the same way, Balaram was transferred also from Mathura to Gokul. And Jiva Goswami is explaining The reason is very simple. Because Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. So he has to appear from Balaram only. He has to appear from Rohini only. So how he can appear from the womb of Devaki? And that's why it is arranged that Balaram is transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And this explanation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of how come in the same womb where Balaram appeared, Krishna appeared, how come that Swaragarbhasura appeared in that same womb? But it is very nicely explained, although these six Garbhasuras appeared in the womb of Devaki, but Devaki did not have any contact with them. Because material nature cannot touch spiritual nature. In the same way, Krishna has his material energy, it's within Krishna, but it's not touched by Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything in me, I am in everything, I am not in everything, is very apparent contradictory statement. Prabhupada is quoting here also from Bhagavad Gita, is called Achinta Vedavir. I am everywhere, but I am nowhere. So it means that material nature comes from Krishna, but material nature cannot touch Krishna, and Krishna doesn't touch material nature. In the same way, Swaragarbhasura, although looks like externally, appeared in the womb of Devaki, but Devaki's womb is transcendental, so that womb is only for Krishna. So Swaragarbhasura cannot touch the womb of Devaki in that sense. So therefore, something external has to be understood in proper way through the eyes of the scriptures, through the eyes of the explanation of the previous acharyas. So Prabhupada is also quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that material nature cannot touch Krishna. In the same way, material nature cannot touch pure devotee. So pure devotee is also transcendental, untouched by the material nature. Prabhupada is also mentioning in the purport, a pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 processes of bhakti yoga. If a devotee is constantly engaged in pure devotional service, 24 hours a day, then he also becomes transcendental, untouched. But it has to be 24 hours. Kirtaniya Sadahari. It's not Kirtaniya 4 hours every day Hari, like something like that. Kirtaniya Sadahari has 2 meanings. One meaning Prabhupada gave, that we have to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. That is the meaning of Kirtaniya Sadahari. Mahaprabhu said that. But another meaning is given, that Kirtaniya Sadahari means we should chant the holy name in every condition of our life. It's not that when I am okay, I am happy, then I chant the holy name. As soon as some unfavorable situation comes, stop chanting. It's not like that. It should be unconditional. That is the meaning of Kirtaniya Sadahari. Whether we are sick, whether we are in a very bad problematic situation, any challenges, every situation of our life, we should chant the holy name. But tendency is that when there is some difficulty, we tend to give up chanting. But we should chant more. More difficulty, more chanting. Just like Brajavasis, they did not give up devotional service when the problem came. People think like that devotional service is joyfully performed. Sushukam kartum abhyam. But it is not external, it is internal. Internal joy will be there. And that internal joy will come when you are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Absorption leads to transcendence. Unless we are absorbed, Akrura was absorbed. Brajavasis were completely absorbed in the thought of Krishna all the time. That's why they are transcendental. So someone who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Maya cannot touch him. But when you come out, just like a iron, if you are in the that iron is in the fire, he gets the quality of the fire. But as soon as he comes out of the fire, he again becomes iron. In the same way, a devotee can be completely transcendental, provided he is constantly engaged in pure devotional service. And Prabhupada has mentioned that nine processes of devotional service is very, very important. And more important in this, out of this nine, is Shravanam, hearing. At the level of sadhaka, we should hear more. And when we develop love of Godhead, that time we cannot control ourselves because so much emotions, they speak more. We should not imitate it. We said, Prabhu, I don't hear nowadays because I have so much emotions, I should give only class, I should not hear. We should act like a sadhaka, that is the principle given by our six Goswamis. Although they are the manjaris of the spiritual world, they are the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, but as long as they are in this material world, they acted like sadhaka. So you should not think that raganuga means change of sadhana. Raganuga and vidhi, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, raganuga sadhana bhakti, activities are the same. But the mood changes. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is performed on the platform of Shraddha or faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the words of the Shastra. That's why you render pure devotional service. But raganuga means when you are attracted spontaneously, lobha. When a devotional service is performed out of lobha or greed, that is called raganuga bhakti. Raganuga bhakti does not mean change of the place. Raganuga bhakti does not mean change of sadhana. It's a misunderstanding we have. But our acharyas explain it very clearly, Rupa Goswami, Director of Devotion, that both are sadhana bhakti, raganuga sadhana bhakti and vaidhi sadhana bhakti. The platform of raganuga sadhana bhakti is on the level of lobha and vaidhi sadhana bhakti is on the level of shraddha. So in that way, we can completely absorb ourselves by engaging in nine processes of devotional service. Then we can be also transcendental, following in the footsteps of Devaki and other pure devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Ram Bhakta invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch. He was feeling so much lamentation, he was not cooking. So he was very depressed that Sita was taken by Ravana. Of course, he would explain later that he was relieved. And also Sanatana and Rupa Goswami felt himself so unqualified that he wanted the Lord to even come closer, touch them. So much so that Sanatana Goswami was so depressed because of his condition. So sometimes depression, something that the devotee exhibits and has due to feelings of not feeling qualified, and also maybe something disturbs his level of lila. You understand my question?
Yes.
We're always joyful, always happy, but if someone is morose, that moroseness may be because of feeling unqualified to maybe perform our service in the proper way, so sometimes we're feeling morose that we can't go into the higher standard.
Moroseness, anything which is connected with Krishna, that is not Maya. Anything which is not connected with Krishna, that is Maya. Disconnect is Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling that whole material nature is Vaikuntha for me. Sthavara jangama dakhe na dakhe tar murti sarvatra hai tar ishta devasputti. Whole material nature is he sees only Krishna. So if there is connection with Krishna, there is no question of Maya. Just like Narottam Das Thakur is telling, Kam Krishna Karma Arpane, that lust can be engaged in doing work for Krishna. Love can be engaged in hearing Krishna Katha. We should be greedy. We should be greedy about Krishna Katha, greedy of association. So everything can be transcendental. So our pure devotees in our parampara, in other parampara also, any pure devotee, any activity, it is connected with Krishna, is that platform, not with material nature. So we should not put them into the category of conditioned souls. It's my understanding. If you can give your comment also.
Yes,
Krishna consciousness means connecting with Krishna. Even the deep overseer, even demons are Krishna conscious, but they are not devotees. So Kamsa is extremely Krishna conscious. And Narad Muni says in Srimad Bhagavatam, a demon's intensity of Krishna consciousness, even the devotees cannot have. Narad Muni is telling. So intensity of Krishna consciousness, because they are fearful. So fear makes you very intense. Because Kamsa was so fearful about Krishna, that's why he is extremely Krishna conscious. Even he was climbing on the stairs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as soon as 8, Krishna. Krishna conscious in mathematics also. Okay? That is the level. But they are not devotees because their Krishna consciousness is unfavorable. Any other question? Any other comment? Maharaj, which bolenge?
Sambhoga.
So that type of suffering, Hera, Devras, Devi, Keshavar, Devi, Nanda, Shri, Buddha,
Sri,
Govardhan, Pada, Padel, Kalindri, Pandevita. So this mood of Sashuk Goswami is such a problem. But that suffering you can render, and repeatedly I am saying that suffering is very shame, Ashwadaniya.
So, one analogy I will give is the suffering, which is question of suffering. In this world, suffering will be there, whether you are a devotee, practicing devotee, pure devotee, or conditioned soul, normal living entities. So, normal living entities, they suffer because of their karma. And someone who is completely surrendered to Krishna, complete surrender, saranga saranagati. We should not think that they become completely pure. Six symptoms of surrender does not guarantee that he is completely pure. There are some subtle desires are there. But he is completely surrendered to Krishna. So Krishna takes charge of a devotee who is fully surrendered. Krishna takes the charge of a devotee who is fully surrendered. Not karma mishra bhakta, not gana mishra bhakta. Krishna doesn't take charge so much. Krishna takes charge of a devotee who is fully surrendered to Krishna. Saranga saranagati hoive jahar tahar parthana sune Sri Nanda Kumar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also singing. Then as soon as Krishna takes charge, his process begins with giving suffering. Why? To purify those subtle desires. then those subtle desires gone, then he becomes pure devotee. He becomes pure devotee. Then Krishna gives him more suffering. Why? To intensify his love. Intensify his love. And when he becomes complete, perfect in love, then he gives another suffering of vipralamba. So that is the nature of Krishna's love. Looks apparently dangerous, but is highly transcendental. And they realize that. And that suffering in separation, that is the mood of our Gauriya Parampara. Mahaprabhu's line, Radharani's feeling, is that feeling of separation, vipralamba. Apparently they are suffering, but they are releasing the topmost transcendental bliss. Hare Krishna.
And he gives us prasad to relinquish all suffering.
Yes, now is the time for that. There is no suffering in that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.